Guys, welcome back to another edition of The Pulse. I don't want to get to the point where I'm saying this every week, but it's true. We have another outstanding guest who has been a trailblazer, a star, award-winning. Now I guess we go as far as calling her a fitness guru. We've got Miss Monique joins us today on The Pulse. How are you today?
Hey, my baby. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You laughed when I said fitness guru. I was serious.
I've been called a lot of things. Okay, some things very good, some things okay, but a fitness guru, baby, I take it though.
So that means I follow you on Instagram, and I've been seeing you getting your fitness on. So you're doing big things.
Well, you know what? For me, my trainer knows to keep it exciting because I'll get bored really, really fast. So he knows you got to keep me moving. You got to keep me interesting. Or interested in what you're trying to give to me. And Lamar and Dwight are absolutely the best, baby. So one day I'm boxing, the next day I'm dancing, one day I'm figure skating. You don't know what you might find.
We're going to get into the real discussion in just a second. Why are you sharing it so everybody can see all the things you're doing?
Well, you know why I believe I share it? Because I want to show the next sister, if I can, you can. I'm 54 years old. You know, I got 5 children. Married, been married 3 different times and a happy marriage now. So it's almost saying if I can, you can, because there's nothing unique or special. It's just getting out there and doing it.
Okay. We always start on The Pulse because I get the pleasure of talking to people who are doing so many different things. And society always wants to define people. I'm always curious as to how you define yourself. So if you get to define you, how do you do that? That's a shocking question.
Yeah, like how do I, you know what I would like to say? Just a big ball of love. That's it.
Okay.
A big ball of love.
That's an easy definition.
I think so.
I started talking in the beginning, Academy Award winner, Golden Globe, Grammy. We know you as the queens of comedy. We know you on all of the different things. And then over the years, there have been some challenges that we're also going to explore. But do you think people know your history, how long it is, the different trailblazing and successes you've been involved in?
You know, I think some do. I think some has been there since day one. You know, coming to Philly, coming to the Keswick Theater, there'll be some people that will show up, baby, that when I was doing little small clubs in the back of a bar in Philly, you know, so there have been those that's been there since day one. They are those babies that's just getting to meet me. They are those babies that, you know, they're not even here yet. So I'm grateful for the ones that said from day one, sis, I'm right here with you. And I'm grateful for the ones that say, hey, sis, I'm just getting to meet you.
When they were just getting to meet you in the beginning, I just rattled off all those awards and it was impressive to me because I've known your career for a while and knew the comedy side of it. And then I'm doing research. I went, wow, Academy Award, Golden Globe, Grammy, all those things. When you were traveling doing comedy, did you even expect that, hope for that, anticipate that?
I didn't hope for that because when I got into stand-up comedy, I wanted to be a stand-up comedian and a talk show host. That's all I saw. That's all I wanted. Everything else literally fell into place. It fell into my lap. Becoming an actress fell into my lap. I didn't go to Hollywood to become an actress. I went to Hollywood to become a talk show host. So, you know, again, to say that I hope for it, you know what I hope for? I always wanted to be famous.
Really?
I wanted to be famous. I practiced signing my autograph. I practiced how I would respond and react because I saw the Jackson 5, baby, when I was a little girl running off the plane. I was like, oh, I want the people to chase me. I want them to run after me. So my hope was always to be famous.
Now, that's an interesting segue because that was the hope. And then there is the be careful what you wish for, you know, or you hope for, because you got it. You know, and you had tremendous levels of success, but with that became tremendous levels of exposure and challenges. So now in your career, still happy for that? Or if you had it to revisit, would that still be the hope?
if I had to revisit the challenges, I wouldn't do one thing different, baby.
Really?
I wouldn't say one thing different. I wouldn't do one thing different. And I still stand in exactly what I said. So oftentimes when you take a stand, if you know our history, you know the challenges will come. Because the one that normally takes the stand is the one that normally takes the hit. So I knew what was happening when I was going to take the stand to say the things that I had to say. My husband and I had talked about it. We knew it. We understand how our community gets down. We understand that there may be a time and place where people tell you to sit down and shut up and let it go. And I heard all of those things. But I also heard the ones in the community saying, don't back down. Don't waver. Don't flinch. I heard those elderly sisters and brothers saying, baby girl, we keeping you uplifted. We holding on to you. So for me to have children of my own and grandchildren, I wouldn't change not one thing. Because when my children look at me and they daddy and say, we proud of y'all. We proud of the stand y'all took. I wouldn't change it at all, baby.
Wow. I honestly think that that knowing, and we're going to explore some of it, but knowing the challenges you faced and came out on the other side. So, you know, we'll talk about that too. But I think that there are some people who would sit back and go, wow, you know, wouldn't change a thing. I mean, that speaks a lot about the things that you stood for really meant something to you. You know, if even in hindsight, you wouldn't change any of it.
No.
Yeah. Tell me about a conversation you had. I was reading that the advice that possibly changed your career you got from Martin Lawrence. And it fits into what we're talking about here. What was that advice?
You know, we were doing Welcome Home Roscoe Jenkins. And Martin is from Upper Maryland. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. And they say Upper Maryland like D.C., Baltimore. Okay. And I had never met him before. I had never met Martin Lawrence, not from Def Comedy Jam, not just in passing. And I wanted to meet that brother because he has a brilliant mind to me. So we're on the set and I get a knock on my trailer door and it is one of Martin's sisters. And she says, Martin would like for you to come down to his trailer. So I said, okay. Like, I'm ready to go meet my brother, right? I get down to this trailer. And when I tell you this is a three-story penthouse, do you hear what I'm saying to you? It was a bottom floor, a middle floor, a top floor. I'm talking about full bathrooms, full bedrooms, baby. It was incredible. So I was like, I'm so proud of you, brother. Just, you make us proud. And he looked at me and said, Monique, don't ever let them tell you what you can't have. And I said, brother, I appreciate that. And I held on to that. So
you clearly
when
did.
You hear one of the greats, and you know that all of us in this business, we've all gone through our challenges and our struggles and trying to prove yourself and make somebody know that you're talented or whatever that thing is. When you get it from a brother that you know his journey and you know his path, and it wasn't always a brick golden road, it was he had to go through his struggles and he had to get to where he had to get to, but never letting them tell him what he couldn't have. So I'm gonna listen to that brother.
Has time, and I read that and I was inspired by that. And I went, you look at Monique's career, she very clearly embraced that and kind of went forward with that. But with that being outspoken and those challenges, you know, it's interesting because in hindsight, the things that got you in quotes into trouble, years later, they don't seem like they should have been that hard line a stand. Like I'm not going to do additional publicity, at least that's what the rumor says, because I want to spend time with my family. Like that's something in today's society that I would hope we would applaud. You know, you challenged that you were not being paid what you viewed as fairly, you know, for a comedy routine from a company that very clearly has it and very clearly was paying people. Yes. These don't seem like huge controversial stances. And yet they were. And when you look back on them, do you ever think about that? Like, wow, I got dragged on some level for wanting to spend time with my family or wanting to be paid equally.
Well, when you understand again our history and you say, well, why was Martin dragged? Why was Malcolm dragged? Why was Fannie Lou Hamer dragged? Why was Eartha Kitt dragged? Why were the people dragged that took a stand and said, I'm going to have to say this is unacceptable? And then when you look at me and you look at the package that I'm in, I am a fat Black woman. So there are a lot of people that feel like I should just be grateful I got invited to the party. So we can't accept it coming from the package that looks like you. So I think when we get into a space of understanding right is right and wrong is wrong, I don't give a damn what the package looks like. If you're right, you're right. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And get out of a place of fear. We've been such in a place of fear. And what happens is, in my humble opinion, when we look at our brother Colin Kaepernick, and that brother, we know that brother did nothing wrong, said nothing wrong. He simply took a knee following the advice from a brother that was a veteran to say, how can I show my respect? Yeah. He did nothing wrong. But what the NFL had to show at that moment was, we're going to punish him so severely that none of you other players will ever make that step. What we're going to show you with Monique, we'll punish her so severely for simply telling us she wouldn't work for free that none of you other Black actresses will make that step. So that's what happens. And normally the fear takes over and you give in.
Yeah. History, honestly, and there were a lot of questions about Colin Kaepernick from a lot of different people. History has ended up being largely on his side. When you see everything that happened and you see it from the lens of that many years later. Similar to you. Just recently, you know, you and one of those challenges was Precious. You're award winning. Everyone's celebrating your work. And then coming out of that, you pointed out that you were largely challenged, blacklisted, because you said, I'm not doing extra stuff on time where I should be spending time with my family. And then I saw that lasted for like 13 years. I mean, that went on.
13, baby, what the hell?
That went on for a really long time. I saw when you and Lee Daniels reconciled, and for those of us who didn't know, I didn't know you were close friends. You know, I didn't know that it had lingered for that long. And I'm curious how that felt going through that when somebody who was a friend, and I guess you would think should have been on your side, wasn't. How do you deal with that? What are you willing to share about dealing with that behind the scenes? Because that had to hurt more than the public having issues with it.
You know, see, my therapy has always been the stage. So come May 27th, baby, yes. I can't say what I'm going to say on here. I can't do it. I will say this. I had been waiting for my friend to show back up because that man is my friend. And I know what it is to mess up. I know what it is to be out of order, out of line, disrespectful. And I know what it is to be forgiven. And I know what it is for somebody to give me grace. Mm. And that somebody is my husband. So the universe said to me, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to sit in that chair of forgiveness and gracefulness. What are you going to do with it? And when my friend slash my brother showed back up, that's who I knew. That's who I know. So when that man said to me, and my husband, let me apologize. And he did it from his heart. It's done. It is done because I can remember having to do the same thing. And I can remember being given grace when I didn't have to be.
And so and it's done.
It's done. Okay. And it is done. Yes.
I don't get the impression, and you know, I've known you for 20 whole minutes. No, so I feel like we have a relationship that's going on here. I don't get the impression that public redemption or people looking back and saying, wow, she may have been right. I don't get the impression that that necessarily meant a whole lot to you if you were standing in what you believe to be right. But did it? Does it feel good that after all of these years, first, you got your friend back, but second, some of the people who were critical are now going, huh, maybe I need to rethink how I handled that.
You know, I can't speak on those people. because only they can answer that question for you. The people I will speak on is when I'm in Texas and a woman in her 80s is standing in a meet and greet line to meet me. And I have them go pull that elderly woman out of the line, and she comes up to me and she whispers in my ear, "We were watching you and we were praying for you. And we knew that that would come. We knew." So I can speak on the young sister when I'm walking through the airport and she comes up to me with tears in her eyes and she says, "Thank you for fighting for me, Auntie." Wow. I can speak on the brother that comes up to me and says, when I talk to my daughters and I say to them, you know, follow Monique's story, read her story. I can speak on those people and how that feels. I can speak on my 35-year-old daughter saying, "Mommy, wow, what you're showing me, what you and Daddy are showing us and teaching us." I can speak on that when I'm no longer here and my picture hangs up in the living room and my granddaughter's daughter says, "That one right there." So I can't focus on the ones that felt like I shouldn't have, and why would I, and sit down and shut up, because you're right. That is now their cross to bear. That is now them going inside of themselves and saying, "Do I have a slave mentality? And was I pushing that off on that woman and her husband, who were only standing up for us as a community? That's not my cross to bear. That's those babies' cross to bear."
I feel like I've seen a little bit of the all sides. Like, we know you initially as a comedian, then we know you as the award-winning actor, seeing a little bit of all of that. We've gone deep for a minute. Let's have some fun. What are we seeing when you're coming to Glenside, to Philly, to the Keswick? We'll be here. You're on tour, so it's not just the Keswick. Are we
going to get your bleeper machine ready? If you want to know what y'all going to say, get my delay button ready. Is the person at the delay machine?
Yeah, we got
edit. Because I'm ready to say something.
All right, so.
When I get on that stage, it is truly my therapy. Now, there was a time I paid somebody a whole lot of money and I went and sat on her couch for some years. And I had to come to grips with, when I'm on that stage, it allows me to get this. It allows me to say this. And I love it saying with spicy words, because if you don't use spicy words, it don't punch it the way it need to punch it. So when I come to the Keswick, get ready for spicy. Get ready for extra hot. Get ready for, what is it called? Hottie sauce? Hey, get ready. Then they had me saying Glenside.
Yeah.
Glenside's Philly, right?
Glenside's like 5 minutes outside of Philly. So Glenside still claims Philly. You are right.
Okay, because I kept saying Glenside. I'm like, I've never been to Glenside. Well, Glenside is damn Philly.
Yeah, Glenside. I mean, I live in Philly and my house is probably 6-7 minutes from Glenside. It's crossing a street and you're technically
out
of Philly.
Y'all cross that street. Y'all cross the street. Y'all cross the street from Philly and come on over to Glenside.
This really is comedy routine. It's sharing your stories. It's just what? It's just a night with you. Wow, that didn't come out right. It's spending some time.
You made me sound like I was a worker. <That's>
it's a night hearing everything and the stories and the comedy as well.
You know what I always tell people? If you want to get to know me, come to a show. You don't have to read nobody else's opinion about me. You don't have to try to paste and copy the story together. If you want to get to know me, you will truly get to know me when you come to the show.
You know, this was not on my list of things I wanted to ask, but you're here and it just came into my mind. What if somebody came up on stage, and you probably have relationships with both, but you obviously saw Will Smith, Chris Rock situation, and you are a comedian, but you're also Auntie who keeps it real. What was your take on that whole scenario?
You know how in a family, especially in Black families, mm-hmm. and you got two uncles, and you got Uncle Buddy, and you got Uncle Junie. And Uncle Buddy and Uncle Junie downstairs in the basement going at it. And everybody knew, don't go down in the basement because they're going to work that thing out. But Uncle Buddy and Uncle Junie got to go through it.
Right.
That's Uncle Buddy and Uncle Junie. And they're going to work that out. Because sometimes we've got to step out to let people work it out. My opinion is not necessary.
Okay.
How I feel about it is not necessary. What I do know is I love both of those brothers. I love those brothers. And I want those babies to work that thing out. Now, when I get to the stage, I don't know how I might feel about it.
Right. Don't get it twisted. Do not come up on stage while Monique is there. You
don't
won't make
that.
It to the stage.
Don't do that, sugar. Now, don't do that. Now, don't you walk yourself up on, if you ain't walking with hugs, what they say on Nutty Professor, you're going to walk over. But you're going to limp back. And tell them stop whispering in your damn ear while we talking.
I don't know either of them. And I love what you're saying about them working it out. I guess the only, the challenge that I had is that, you know, Uncle Buddy and Uncle Junie did it in public with millions of people watching. And I think that that was the challenge that people now had to overcome.
Well, here's the thing, too. Sometimes, baby, we get so blown away. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. You know who was traumatized in that? Chris Rock and Will Smith.
Right.
Everybody else back up. I was triggered. Oh, and it, listen, when Uncle Buddy and Uncle Junie be down there on that dock, like, ain't nobody triggered. We know what's gonna happen because Uncle Junie's wife got out of order and Uncle Buddy had to deal. Whatever it is. If we stop putting so much energy and focus on, oh my God, what happened? Pay attention to what's happening with you so that you may never be in a situation like that. And it doesn't have to be in front of millions of people. It could simply be in front of two people, you and somebody else, but you're out of order and out of line.
Right.
So pay attention to you and not so much into Hollywood giddy up.
Tell us about the Netflix series. You on stage and everything with Lee Daniels when y'all settled everything. You know, the headline was about y'all settling everything, but part of the discussion was that you're coming back together to work together after 13 years.
Yes. You know, I've always said in those 13 years, Lee Daniels is the most brilliant director I've ever played with. Because his mind is fearless when he's left alone. When he's left alone. And when my husband and I talked to our brother, and we said, listen, let's play again. That's what that was. I know everybody wants to make it, ooh, but when no one knew who Lee Daniels was, and no one really knew who Monique was, me and that baby made magic. Because nobody wanted to give this black gay director a chance, and nobody was gonna give a fat black woman a role like that because all they thought I was funny. So me and that brother got together and we made magic. So we're looking at each other saying, we know what we got together. We know our chemistry. Let's go make that happen. That's all that is.
I feel like I need to correct you, the fat black woman. You're the fit black woman. I've seen the videos.
Well, see, fat could mean something different to different people.
It's a true story.
Fat, in my word, is fabulous and thick.
Okay.
Okay. See, in other people, it might mean something else. Okay. But a fat black woman. Yes, I say it proudly.
Okay. We own it now. Couple more, and I know you have to go. And I appreciate you spending time. We're looking forward to you being at the Keswick just outside of Philly to kind of go on this journey. And I encourage everybody to get there because if it's anything like the conversation we're having with you, only longer, they're absolutely going to enjoy it. Do you think in the years that you've been fighting these battles for equality, these battles to stand up, the advice that Martin Lawrence gave you, and you continue to pass on to other people, has Hollywood changed? Is it changing? Are those things going to be fewer and further between?
I don't know that Hollywood is changing when you have to post that Angela Bassett is the highest paid black woman on television. But if you look at Angela Bassett's resume compared to all the other women on television, someone would say, why isn't she the highest paid woman, not just black? So again, I think sometimes we take danglings of that carrot and say, oh, okay, well, whatever I have to do, Angela Bassett should be one of the highest paid women, not Black women. But we celebrate it in our community. Oh yeah, but is it really oh yeah? Because if you set our sister's resume down to all the women on television, mm-hmm. you would have to say, shouldn't she be the highest paid woman and not just Black? When we are now in 2022 and we're still celebrating the first Black, the first Black, the first Black. And we look at that like, what a great thing that is. Should we be doing that? And I want to tell you someone else who gave me some great advice and has been a dear friend and is my sister. And her name is Roseanne Barr.
Hmm. Okay.
And oftentimes we throw away allies. We throw away the ones that really had our back and has our back. When Roseanne Barr came and did the Monique show, there were Black entertainers that wouldn't come do the Monique show because it was on BET. So when you want to call that woman a racist, why would that racist woman come to a Black show on a supposedly Black network and have a conversation with me? And when no one was listening and no cameras were rolling, that white woman that the community called a racist said to me, make sure you get paid. You're the real deal. Don't let them use you up. Why would she say that to me if she's this horrible person? So yes, I got that advice from Martin Lawrence, but I also got some from my sister named Roseanne Barr, who said, don't let them use you up. Don't let them mistreat you. So I would say to us, let's not be so quick to throw away before you know the whole story. Let's not be so quick to judge before you open the book up and read the pages. Now, I'm not saying that in judgment because I used to be guilty of that myself.
Yeah.
Until my husband had to sit me down and say, wait a minute, you told me you don't like that person. Tell me about him. Well, I don't really know him, so how can you not like him? If you don't know him, how can you not like him? Now, I share all this on stage just with a little more spice, because I know right now the pulse is not ready for the pulse.
The longer version. Oh, we're ready. And one more question and then we go. But you are, and I appreciate you doing this, because you're exactly what we wanted the pulse to be. You know, it's the opportunity to kind of talk to people, hear stories that you may not have heard, get them the opportunity to explain it past a soundbite, and see how people actually really feel. I appreciate you doing that. And it leads me to, do you remember, you know, Dawn Staley, the Olympic gold medalist basketball player? She's now the head coach of South Carolina, just won the women's championship. When Dawn was on with us, part of her journey was she was fighting to be the highest paid coach, women's coach, not Black women's coach, highest paid coach. And when I asked her, you know, why? Like, why was that battle so important? And she went through all of her explanation, and then she summed it up by saying, listen, I deserved it. I earned it. Like, it's ridiculous for me to be having the discussion about why I wasn't getting it. It's not ridiculous for me to be asking why I should.
Yes.
Yeah, it was an interesting point. It's the same kind of theme. We end every show. I feel like you've been doing this the whole discussion. But we ask everybody how you use your voice for good, or is there something you want people to support that you're currently supporting? It's kind of the last word in a positive summary.
How do we use our voice for good? Be good on purpose. Be good on purpose, baby. Don't need a motive, don't need a reason. Wake up and say, today is a good day and I'm going to be good on purpose. See, you know I'm a talker, right? So don't ask me nothing but I think that what happens oftentimes is, especially in this society, we wake up to mess and drama and we gravitate to it and we want to get down with it, and it makes your breath stink, it makes your wig stink. Be good on purpose and watch what happens. Everybody you come in contact with, be good to them, even if it's just a smile. Even if you're in a supermarket and a sister need a hand or a brother need a hand, be good on purpose and watch what happens.
Got nothing. I feel like that's the mic drop moment. Thank you so much for taking this time with us. We will see you at the Keswick. At the risk of sounding patronizing, so many people are proud of the stances you've taken and the heat you went through. And even if people didn't see it at the beginning, they're seeing it at the end, and you emerged on the other side. And we are proud. So thank you.
Thank you, my baby. Thank y'all so much. And I can't wait to see my Phillians and my Keswickians and my Glensidians. I can't wait to see you, babies. We're going to have a good time.
I'll be watching the videos, watching you get your workout on. Thank you so much. You have a good one. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, good brother.
All right. You take care.
Okay, baby. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with Monique. And as I shared with her, when we started doing this podcast, one of my goals was honestly very similar to what today's show was, getting a chance for people to tell their full story, getting a chance to get a better understanding of what people deal with, go through, and how they can inspire all of us to overcome that. And in a lot of ways, Monique did that. This is a woman who for 13 years, after winning an Academy Award, struggled to get work because she stood up and said she wasn't going to do extra work because she wanted to spend time with her family. It's amazing to me when you hear the behind the scenes story, but it also is inspiring that after all that time, they came out on the other side and it all worked out. She took a stand. And that stand worked out. Stand for something that you believe in. Sometimes you got to take the lumps, but it worked out for her. And I appreciate her spending that much time with us. Remember, if you are interested in watching the Pulse with Bill Anderson TV show, if you're in Philadelphia, you can check us out at 6:30 p.m. on Mondays. Nationally, you can check us out at 9 p.m. Mondays on Fox Soul. Of course, we are always available on demand on those stations' websites, so make sure you check them out. And follow me on social media at BillAFox29. Always want to hear from you. Always want to interact. So we'll be back to do it again the same time next week. Thank you so much. And remember, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a great day.